Happy Thanksgiving. You know, you did almost as good as the early service. No, you did. You did a good job. That was great. For those of you who don't know, this is Thanksgiving weekend. And it's a time for celebration. It is a time that some of us take a holiday. Time to eat turkey with all the trimmings. Hungry yet? Oh. Unless you're like this poor farmer who is searching for a turkey. Blind as a bat. All the turkeys are going moo. You know. Thanksgiving. It's typically it's a time that we set aside to thank the Lord. And I just want to submit to you that this shouldn't just be a day. I think it should be a lifestyle. I think we should always thank the Lord. I really do. I think every day we should do that. Many times of the day. It's like a man who is lost. He was walking in the desert for about 5 days, and he comes to the home of a pastor. Poor fella. Tired and weak, and he crawls up to the house, and he collapses on the doorstep, and this preacher takes him in, and he nurses him back to health, probably so he could preach to him. I don't know. And feeling better, the man asks the pastor for directions to the nearest town, and the pastor tells him the directions, and he says, but you can use my horse. You don't need to walk to town. I mean, you'll be worn up by the time you get there. You can use my horse. But the preacher says, my horse is very special. You need to know about the special things about my horse. In fact, you have to say, thank you, Lord, to make it go. My horse will go. To make him stop, you have to say, amen. All right? Oh, the man said, that's no problem. It's easy for me. So he's anxious to get to town, and the man says, all right, he gets on the horse, and no problem, and says, thank you, Lord. And the horse starts walking. Man's getting a little frustrated because he's only going so far, and says a little louder, he says, all right, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Horse starts kind of trotting at this point. Should have seen me do this in the morning service. It was like calisthenics that early in the morning. And then all of a sudden he thinks, this is going to take me forever to get to town. So he says, really brave, he says, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And the horse is in full gallop and just running crazy. And it was then that he realizes he's heading for this huge cliff, and he yells, whoa! The horse doesn't even slow down. It's coming up real quick. He's doing everything that he can to make that horse stop. He's going, whoa, stop, hold on. Hold back! And then finally remembers, amen! And the horse stops a mere 2 inches from the cliff's edge, almost throwing him over its head. The man is panting. Heart is just racing. He wipes the sweat from his face, and he leans back in the saddle, and he looks up to the heavens, and he says, thank you, Lord! Ever been there? You know, one thank you, Lord, and over the cliff we go. And we've been talking about attitude over these past few weeks. And today is so important to who we are. So let's just jump in. Let's take a good look this morning at words of good old King David here. The First Chronicles chapter 16. It's in the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there. The New Testament's at the back. The Old is at the front. And if you find the word Kings, it's right after there. If you find the word 2 Chronicles, it's just before there. It's number 1. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 34. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 34. I love these words. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures for the moment. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's so important in the moment in which we live, right now, today, to develop a thankful attitude. But how do we? How do we develop thankfulness when there is so much that is happening around us or even to us? We need a thankful attitude. A thankful attitude exalts God's goodness. Even when there are those trying moments of our life, it's then that we need more than ever to exalt God's goodness. I mean, we all say thank you to somebody at some point in our life. How many of you have ever said thank you? Okay, there's four over here. I think there's three, seven, okay. How many of you have ever said thank you in your life? All right, thank you. See? The clerk serves us at the store, waiter, waitress, the restaurant, the family who serves us dinner. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful meal you created. Thank you, Mom, for mowing the lawn. You know, we say thank you. People do something for us, tidy our house up, build a wall, put up lights, take down a tree. We say thank you. Thank you. Others are good to us. We say thank you. But God is always good to us. He never once neglects us, even when we neglect to even thank him. One of the ways we develop a thankful attitude is by definitely acknowledging the goodness of God in our life. Harriet Martineau was an atheist, and one morning she and a friend stepped out into the glories of a beautiful fall morning, and she saw the brilliant sun. It was kind of like today, brightly leaves following down, this haze. It was just gorgeous. There's dew on the meadow. And she was filled with this beauty and the awe of all the wonderment around her. And she said, I am so thankful, an atheist. I am so thankful, doesn't believe in God. I am so grateful for it all. And her believing friend said, grateful to whom, my dear? Good question. It's a very good question. If you're grateful, if you're really thankful, the next question would have to be, to whom? The contemporary English version says this in this verse, puts it this way, praise the Lord because he is good to us. How many of you know the goodness of God today? All right. I want to tell you, God's goodness is so tremendous on our life. God cares about every moment of your life. Every minute, every second, every millisecond, God is so concerned about you that he has penned in his word in the Bible promises to you. And I invite you to take time and go through the Bible, but I've done some bit of research through the week, and I've found some promises that God gave to us. God, for instance, he promises to hear our prayers. Isaiah 65 says, before they call, I will answer. That's what he says. While they're speaking, I will hear. God promises to reward us for being faithful. In Matthew, he says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he's done. God promises never to withdraw his presence from us. Wasn't it him who said, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age? God promises that we will receive and he will help those who come to him. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away, Jesus said. God promises to send his Son Jesus Christ back to earth someday. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back to you, take you to be with me, so that where I am you may be also. God promises never will he leave us comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. God promises to turn our tragedies into triumphs. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. God never allows our sufferings and heartaches to become unbearable. It says, no temptation has seized you except what's common to man. God tells us that he will never give up on us when we make a mistake. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on you when you make a mistake? God promises that he will provide for all of our physical and spiritual needs. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, right on that PowerPoint that you saw, that video this morning. God promises that he'll give wisdom and guidance to those who seek him. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, says the Bible, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given, handed to you. God also promises to forgive our sins when we confess them. If we confess our sins, says 1 John, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Talk about the goodness of God. And I've only given you a little tip of the goodness of God. Isn't God's goodness worth thanksgiving? And as we respond in his goodness, we respond with a thankful heart. I mean, as I read through those this morning, didn't you feel a sense of security, a sense of comfort, knowing that God is good and yet he cares about you? A.W. Tozer said, perhaps it takes a purer faith to praise God for unrealized blessings than for those we once enjoyed or those we enjoy now. I mean, there are things in your life, I know right now, there are things in your life that are going on that you don't even know that it's a blessing from God. Because it happens to me all the time. I mean, something can happen in my life which is very traumatic, and I'm going, what? God, are you even there? Do you even hear me, God? I've been praying for this, and this happened. And yet, it's an unrealized blessing, because as I walk through that journey, that tragedy, that unsettledness, that uncertainty, always on the other end is God's glory. And as I walk through that, my dad is very ill right now, and I went home to Regina, and I'm driving on, I'm going, God, why does he have to be so sick right now? Yet I arrive there, and there's my brothers, and my one brother goes, I can't take this anymore, and I get to be a pastor to them. See? The blessings, unrealized blessings of God. Praise God for those blessings that yet are to come. Ever done that? I mean, God's just waiting to bless you. When you start reflecting the goodness of God, you start getting thrilled about what God will do next. I'm so excited he did that. Oh, can I wait for this one? Ephesians says that he goes before us and he clears the way for us. He clears the path. I'm so glad that God goes before me, because, boy, I make a mess of things. And God goes before me. He just cleans up everything, says Ephesians. And he makes that journey much easier to go through. How many of you are enjoying that journey right now as God goes before you? I am. Thank God for what he will do. This chronicle writer said, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. Everybody turn to the person next to you and say, God is good. And then you respond back all the time. God is good. God is good. Oh, wow. You did better than the morning. Because I didn't even do that in the morning. Don't just say that, though. Live like it. We develop a thankful attitude when we ponder his goodness. A thankful attitude exalts God's goodness. A thankful attitude enjoys God's enduring love. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You think of it. Just think of it. God's love endures forever. I mean, not only should we acknowledge God's goodness in our life, we need to acknowledge God's continual love for us. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, God's love's continual for you. It's unending. The Bible explains, we love, 1 John, we love because he first loved us. We love God because he first loved us, and we love others because he first loved us. Love starts, love stops with God. He's the author. He created that out of his very nature. And he desires that we share and experience this wonderful gift. Give thanks to God. He's good. His love never quits. That's what the Message Bible says. Message Bible puts, God's love never quits. Isn't that nice to know that God's love for you never quits? No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you cannot outrun the love of God. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God's love continues for you. And when you think about it, our similarities to God are very, very minimal. I mean, God, he can be everywhere. He is everywhere. He's all things. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. But God is love. And he wants you to share that attribute with him and with other people. What a marvelous privilege. That's why I enjoy God's enduring love. When you do, when you thank him, and the way we thank him is by loving him and loving others in return, that's really the mark of a thankful attitude. That's when you know you've made it to being thankful, because we're most like God when we love. Everybody say, God's love never quits. God's love never stops for me. Now, I want you to know, no matter where you're walking right now, no matter what you're going through, no matter what tragedy, trial, whatever circumstance you're going through, God will never stop loving you. Never. You can run from him, but he's not going to run from you. St. Augustine said, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. Don't you just love being loved by one special person? That's how God is. That's how God is. God loves you just like you're the only person in his presence. That's how much he loves you. Just as we're called to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, we're called to love our neighbor, says the Bible. We almost don't have a problem with that stuff. But it seems that we draw a little bit of an invisible line when it comes to loving ourselves. Because the world is conditioned us to think that's got to be selfishness, or that's got to be pride, but we're commanded to love ourselves. Love your neighbor as yourself. But the world has corrupted this kind of as self-love into the motto, you got to look out for number one. That's not what the Bible says. Yet we're much like the little boy who's with his mom and this man gave this little boy an orange. He said, here you go, little boy, here's an orange. Here you go. And the boy's mother said, you know, and what do you say to that nice man? You know, it's, you know. What do you say to that nice young man? What do you say to that nice man? The little boy thought about it, and he lifted up the orange, and he handed it back, and he said, all right, here, peel it. God's love endures forever. It never quits. But here's a question. Does your love quit? Are you selective with your love? You see, it's Johnny Carson. How many of you know who Johnny Carson is? He's a great friend of mine. I'm just kidding. You're going to think that's true. That's not true. He said this. He said, Thanksgiving is an emotional holiday. People travel thousands of miles to be with people they only see once a year. And then they discover once a year is way too often. Maybe that's you today. Maybe if God is love and we're most like God when we love, then why is our love so selective in who we love? Because the Bible teaches a healthy love for ourselves, because we're his workmanship, we're worth loving, that we love others because of that. In fact, did you know that you are worth loving today? I bet you didn't know that. You may not even think so, but God knows so. In fact, Satan will say to you, you're not worth loving. You've done so many bad things. You've made a mistake. How could anybody love you? But God said, you are my workmanship. You are worth loving. And even more, you are so valuable that you are worth dying for. Dying for. That's what this table is all about. It's all about God's goodness. It's all about God's enduring love. For that, we need to carry an attitude of thanksgiving all year, every day, all day long. It's about time we got over ourselves and started seeing ourselves as God sees us, as one who is worthy to be called to this table, the table of our Lord. where this table represents the sacrifice made on that cross, where he said, I love you this much, and he stretched out his arms and died. Not an easy death, a horrible death. But he did it because of his love, his unending love for you. You. Only because of you. You see, if we really grasped how much we were loved by God, it would stagger us. Because God loves, it's an immeasurable love. You can't measure it. You think about it for a moment. If you used adjectives to describe God's love, you would think of the word perfect. Or you'd think of unconditional. You'd think of sacrificial. You'd think of immeasurable. You'd think of everlasting, unearned. And no wonder God's heart, when I make those choices that I make, God must just grieve when I don't enjoy his love for me. We're called to love God. And I do not know of any better thankful attitude builder than enjoying the love of God for me. The love of God, it doesn't end. There is no reason to feel unloved. There's no reason to sit in a corner with rubber bands going, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. Or playing that one stringed violin, me, 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 me. We need to enjoy God's enduring love for us. And that only occurs when we begin thanking him for his goodness. The longer you spend thanking God for all he's blessed you with, the more you sense the love of God in your life. There's nothing that you can do to get God to love you. And there's nothing you can do to make him stop. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, maybe today you're going to just stop for a moment and you're just going to take some time and you're just going to thank God for his goodness on your life. And, you know, there may be blessing you. Maybe you're newly married. Maybe you have children. And at times, you wonder sometimes why you're married and why you have children. But then there's those moments which are so precious. And you understand that God has walked you through those moments so that you can look at those moments and say, those are precious. Thank God for that today. Maybe it's with your job. You didn't realize how wonderful it was to work for who you're working for. Maybe it's your finances. You realize that, wow, God has sure looked after us this year. Or maybe you've gone through a really tough time this year. But you see the care of God all the way through. That's God's goodness on you. Maybe you're done running from him and running from his love, because God's love is unending and he will find you. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. This morning, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you, if you're willing to say today, I'm going to stop running, God. I know that you have looked at me and said I'm worthy. I can't understand it sometimes, why. But I'm willing, God, to accept your love on my life and accept your goodness upon me today. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, just lift your hand if you're saying that today. I will accept your love and goodness on me. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Just lift your hand. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, God sees all those hands. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees those hands. God sees all those hands today. Lifted to him. Father God, I just pray this morning a mighty blessing upon these, your people. They have gathered here, Lord, to just learn even better how to enjoy life. Lord, how to make it through and how to slug it through in our world. Our world is a difficult place, God. And you know it is, because they tried you. They walked you through such tremendous and horrific times, God. Your very son, Jesus, walked through such times so that he could identify with us each and every moment of our life. For that we thank you. For that we praise you. You're our God, you're our Lord, and we serve you alone. We pray, Lord, your continued blessing upon these people as they continue to worship you, as they're thankful. Lord, bless them, each and every one. In the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord, I pray. And all God's people said, Amen.